Welcome to the Hook Podcast, episode number 8. On this episode, we've got David Broman, my father, and creator of Predator Lures. So sit back, enjoy episode 8.
We're with only two of us on the boat. Mayhem on just one more.
What a fish.
All right, so sitting down with David Broman, aka Mr. Predator Lures himself, also my father, the one that got me into this mad keen sport of ours. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Hook Podcast.
Thanks, Samuel. Good to be here, mate.
Yeah. Look, obviously the people that listen to us and follow us know that you're the big reason why I got into this sport. So give us a bit of background how you actually got into the sport and how you managed to get us into the sport.
Well, I always loved fishing right from when we lived on a farm at Greta South. And I think I started fishing about 5 years old, and that was for trout. That's pretty much carried through to what I do today. Only today I do fish for a lot of different types of fish, which is great. And it was just great to get you and Ben into the sport. I guess we dragged her along a little bit when you was a bit younger, but at the end of the day, it was a good way to keep the family together, and we were all doing something together. So that's pretty much how I see how we got into it. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people that we've interviewed on the show, or a lot of people that we speak to, say it is a pretty family-orientated sport. So that obviously led you guys to starting the Wayne Grater and District Sports Fishing Club. So the club's still around now, and you're still a member, a life member, if I'm not wrong.
That's correct. I wasn't actually one of the founding members of it. I come on the scene probably 3 or 4 years after it was founded. But yes, the club is still going, and you're right, I am a life member of the club. So that was good. Back in the early days, it was actually, it concentrated more on sports fishing. We were a member of ANSA at that stage. So there was a lot of line class fishing, which was great. And it's something that I've sort of carried on with today as well. I like the sports fishing side of it. It's good. So, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So obviously you touched on a little bit there before. You do a lot of, or as kids, we did a lot of different sorts of fishing, trout, you know, all our freshwater stuff, cod, all the way up to the saltwater stuff. So out of all the forms of fishing that you do, which one do you reckon is your favorite and why?
Look, I guess, mate, I've got a pretty strong attachment to the native fishing side of it because of the lures. But in all honesty, I love my trout fishing. I still go trout fishing very regular. Obviously, I do a lot of fishing for native fish. And also, I had done a lot of game fishing back in the late 80s, early 90s. Got out of that for quite some time, but thankfully, I guess I've had the opportunity to get back into it with yourself, and I've really enjoyed what we've been doing. So I guess lost the urge for game fishing for a long period of time, but now I'm back into it, enjoying that just as much as the other types of fishing that I do as well.
Yeah, nice. Well, yeah, it's definitely gone full circle coming around. So now instead of me losing your $100 lures, you're losing mine. So I suppose what goes around comes around in some aspects.
Not wrong about that, isn't it? Great.
So
I spent a lot of money taking you guys out, and now the favour's been returned to some extent, which is good, really good.
So obviously back in the day, you did a lot of fishing with different people and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, the club was a big driver for that, so you got to meet a lot of people. Rod's been a bit of a feature on our movies for all the guys that are following Cuzzy Bros Fishing and all that sort of stuff. Would have seen Rod get his first marlin with us last year. You and Rod fished quite a fair bit back in the day. So out of all the staff, what's one of the best or the most memorable catches that you and Rod had back in the day? Like what was one of the best things that, or the, one of the things that you always think back on?
Rod's a really good mate and has been for a long period of time. As you said, we fished quite a bit back in late 80s, early 90s, and we had a great time fishing. Him and I used to go out by ourselves lots of times, but we caught some great fish back in those days. It was all out of Bermagui. It was pretty much for yellowfin back in those days, but there was the odd marlin around, and I guess one of the highlights was getting a blue marlin over there, which ended up weighing in at 204 kilo on 24, which was really good. That was one of the highlights. We also caught quite a lot of shark over there as well, and we caught quite a lot of yellowfin. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to catch any yellowfin over 40 kilo, but boy, we had a lot of fun on 30 kilo, 40 kilo yellowfin. So they were good days, some good sharks in there as well. So yeah, they bring back a lot of good memories, and Rod was especially a great guy to fish with. He's been a mate for a lot of years, and hopefully will be for a lot of years. So, and we've even got Daniel taking him out now, which is a bit of an experience, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, it has been. I mean, you spend all this money to go game fishing and we end up flathead fishing. So, I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do to keep the crew happy, I guess. But it's good.
That's pretty high on his agenda, isn't it? Flathead fishing.
Well, you got to get a feed. I can see where he's coming from. So, Rodney, we've always got your back, son.
Yeah, good job, Rod.
So, obviously, predator lures. Now, I remember living at our place in Wangaratta, and you spending hours upon hours out in the shed building these lures. They've been around now for over 25 years.
35, actually, mate.
Well, there you go. That's how long they've been around for. Obviously, they got a really good cult following, but they also produce the goods. So what prompted the predator lures, and where do you sort of see it at the moment?
Yeah, look, mate, predator lures really, really started. And I don't want to sound funny over this, but back in 1985 when I first started doing them, money was pretty tight back then, although I had a good job, but I had some priorities. I wanted to get our house paid off, etc. I wanted to give our two boys the best toys and best stuff that I could. They had motorbikes for quite some time, and we used to do a lot of bike riding. So I guess money was a little bit short. Lure prices back in those days weren't really that much different than they are now in terms. You were still paying probably $12 to $15 for lures back then. Unfortunately, I couldn't really afford to buy too many lures, so maybe a brainwave one day, I thought I'd start making a few of my own. I did make a couple that I copied off another brand of lures, and it got in my blood. It sort of became a bit of an obsession to start making lures after that. And then I also had people chasing me wanting to buy lures as well, because they were proven to be pretty good. The original lure that I copied, I sort of changed the shape to bring my brand of lures into play. And I changed the shape to a shape that no one obviously had or was making that type of lure. So that's pretty much how it started. I started doing wooden lures made out of Western Red Cedar. I probably made those for about 7 years.
I've still actually got a couple of those, and I know chasing me for them, but they're in the tackle box. They'll look after.
Yeah, well, I've still got a few at home as well, which you'll probably end up with maybe one day, mate. But yeah, those lures were a wooden lure. As I said, I ended up building a copy lathe to cut those out. And you're right, I spent a lot of time out in the shed making those lures. Unfortunately, the Western Red Cedar wasn't a good material to make lures out of. It's not a healthy dust if you breathe it off those lures. So at the end of the day, I sort of had quite a lot of people. I had some shops that I was selling to at that stage. and it was really becoming a bit too time consuming. I couldn't do too much fishing because I just seemed to be making lures all the time. And as I said, it went from a passion to pretty much an obsession. So I decided to go into the plastic side of it, and ended up having some molds made for the two size lures, the 75mm and the 90mm that I was making. So that's pretty much where it started. Nowadays, I guess I do a few other varied types of lures as well. I do spinnerbaits and also started doing a wooden surface lure as well. So sort of developed a little bit from where we used to be. These days, I don't supply too many shops. They people won't find them in too many stores, mainly because I don't want to be tied up making lures all the time. I'm still very happy to make lures. I get a lot of feedback from the lures, and they've been very successful as well, and still are. Even though there's a lot of different types of lures on the market now, they still catch just as many fish as what they used to. So I guess that's a bit of a rundown on the life story of it. So, yeah, where we sit at the moment is, yeah, just making a few to sell to people, and I still have a few shops that I sell to. So.
Yeah, nice. So obviously you sort of touched on it there, the design's changed from wood over to the plastics. Obviously that's been a necessary change, I suppose, but there's a lot of guys out there that still collect those wood lures. Like I've seen some of them on Facebook selling for ridiculous prices. Well, I suppose they're not ridiculous, but all the collectors, and they're pretty sought after. So those guys that have got the wood ones out there, make sure you hold on to them, because they'll definitely come around in spades at some stage, no doubt. So the surface lures, that's been pretty high on the priority list lately. I've been watching you making all these surface lures, and I know you've got a pretty sought after goal at the moment with the surface lures. So what's the plan there?
Well, the surface lures that I'm doing now are a timber lure there. So there's quite a lot of work that goes into those. Any of the lures that I've made in the past, emphasis is on doing a really good job, having a really well-finished and usable lure. And the surface lures are no different. I make two types of lure. There's a paddler and there's a weight bait that I'm doing. Now, I do the weight bait in 190mm and a 215mm, and the paddlers are in a 190mm. So you're right, they have been a bit of a priority. There's over an hour's work in each one of those lures from start to finish. And as I said, the quality is fairly high, and it's something I take a lot of pride in all my lures, is to have a good quality lure, a good usable lure, and something that the fishermen should be able to get a lot of use out of. If there's any issues with them, those issues, I try and fix those issues as soon as I can. So, yeah, the surface lures are good. There's been some good reports of some big fish. One of my mates I was fishing with last year got a meter 22 Murray cod, so that was good. And the night before, he hooked one possibly in the 90s to a meter, and I muffed that one. I didn't quite get it in the net. Unfortunately, the hooks got caught in the net and the fish swam away. Good luck to it, probably. But anyway.
So you gypped him is what you're saying.
I did gyp him. He took it pretty well too. I was surprised how well he took it.
Yeah, right. Okay. So so the goal for yourself with the surface lures?
Well, the surface lures, as I said, there's a lot of work in the surface lures. The goal is just to make the surface lures. People who want them can give me a call. There are some in some shops, but really at this stage, I guess I'm nearing the end of my career making lures. 35 years has been a long time making lures. There's been a lot of changes. To be honest with you, a lot of the imported stuff is a hell of a lot cheaper. Some of it works pretty good. Some of it's probably not the standard, isn't quite that good, but nevertheless, most lures will catch fish. It depends how people use the lures. As I said, I pride myself in doing a good job with the surface lures, and I'll keep making those for a while and just see where we go.
Fair enough. Well, Dad and I have had a bet going for a while now. So the bet was that I was going to catch a barrel. Dad was going to catch a metery on his surface lures. Now, I think we've settled this. We're going to Houston McDonald's because that's where I'm getting my meal, isn't it? Is that what we come up with?
Well, I'm not sure it's Houston McDonald's, but certainly the bet was, and you, I was probably one of the first people that was aware of you getting the fish, although I was blasted all over Facebook, wasn't it?
But well, you know, you've got to anyway, make the most of it while you can.
It didn't take long for a text to come through to my phone to say, you owe me a meal. I text back, well, I said, basically said, which McDonald's would you like to go to? And I never actually got a reply back in the text from that, so.
I'll fix it. I'll send it through in a second.
McDonald's, mate.
Fair enough. So, look, I know we spoke about it a bit earlier, but it has gone full circle. And for myself, one of the highlights, especially this year, you know, we've sort of started the saltwater journey again, I suppose, now that we've got another boat and we're sort of targeting the bigger stuff. So back in the day, I know Rod and yourself weren't, you know, there weren't a lot of marlin around when you guys were fishing. There wasn't, you know, it wasn't as plentiful as it is right now. So one of the highlights that I've had this year was when yourself and Jackie were on the boat over at Burmy and we got that double hookup. We managed to get both of them. Obviously, you working a rod, I was working a rod, and Jackie was driving the boat.
You were yelling a lot of orders.
That's what the captain does. Captain keeps the team in line. So, but yeah, Jackie did an awesome job driving the boat, but being hooked up to two fish with, you know, my wife on the boat and obviously my dad who got me into the sport was pretty cool and something that I won't forget anywhere in the future. And we've got the video, so. You know, people will probably get sick of seeing it because we put it up a fair bit because it was pretty cool. But yeah, that was one of the highlights. And I suppose you did mention it. It is a family sport and it keeps the family together. Like, you know, common goal, out there fishing. You're trying to do the best at whatever you're doing and there's no difference here when we're fishing. So that was awesome. Another highlight for myself has been with you and Rod on the boat, Biff and Bop, as I refer to you. Having both of you guys on the boat, I mean, you guys taught me how to game fish, basically. Obviously, techniques have changed a little bit since you guys were doing it, but not by much, to be honest. And having Rod on the boat and having him catch his first marlin, it was the first marlin for the boat, first marlin for my new Tiagra 50,
yep.
And Rod got his first marlin, so yeah. It was a day of firsts, really. It was pretty cool.
I think that was pretty awesome effort from yourself. Most people would like to take the first fish on the boat and all the gear, but I think it was pretty special that you let Rodney, if you like, take his first marlin as well. Rodney never ever got a marlin, and just going back a little bit further, I did normally when people. The angler catches a marlin. I guess back in the old days, the angler used to give the captain the tail off the fish. Well, I certainly had the tail at home, but unfortunately my dog got to the tail and ate the bloody thing before he actually got it. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. It did actually.
But I didn't know that you gave the tail of the fish to.
Yeah, right. It was sort of a dumb thing back then. But
okay.
I don't think that sort of thing happens now. Look, for me, being over there fishing with Rob and Daniel was fantastic. Fortunately, we didn't have too many blues that particular trip over there. But we did have a couple of once, maybe.
I think there was a day there where everything was going. We got schooled pretty hard. I mean, we were over there. We backed down on a bait ball. We had it to ourselves. We still are pretty new at the whole marlin fishing. We still are. Nice. So we backed down on this fish or this bait ball, and there was marlin around it everywhere. Like, you know, you can see it on TV, but until you actually see it in real life, it's spectacular. Like, it is unbelievable. anyway, we back down on this bait ball and we're throwing liveys and hooks, and liveys are going in different directions. There's tangles down the back of the boat, and Dad and I are getting pretty angry with each other. There was a few words said. And then Tyrone on his game boat backs straight in. His outriggers basically catching our outriggers, hooks up straight away and walks his fish between three other boats and off he goes. And then Nathan on Headhunter did the exact same thing, but he come back twice and got two fish.
While we were still untangling the line. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we drove off just sort of sorting our own stuff out. Had a livey at the, it was a livey on, yeah, a rigger. And then you got your marlin.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome, actually. We backed in on this bait ball, and we were pretty tied up, sorting ourselves out with the knots and everything else that was happening. And these two big boats just sort of come in and mugged us, didn't they?
They schooled us pretty hard, to be honest.
And before we knew it, they were both on fish, and we were still on penguin knots. So I guess we sorted a little bit of our shit out after that. We decided and had a bit of a plan on what we was going to do. And yeah, I think it's probably working a fair bit better than what it was on that particular day. So, and in saying that, back in the 90s, that was something we weren't doing. Obviously, there wasn't many marlin around. So we weren't aware of the bait balls back then holding marlin. But anyway, there's a lot of things. The new electronics and so on that's in the boats now is fantastic. It's hard not to catch fish on a lot of occasions. But as I said, back in the 90s, the sounders really only showed us the bottom. It wasn't much more than that. So times have changed quite a bit.
I was actually talking to someone about sounders the other night, and I remember when you got one of the first sounders on one of your first boats.
Yep.
And it was that paper thing. Yeah. It was a Lowrance
Mac 1.
That was it, with the paper. And we had to, we're out trying to change rolls when it's pouring rain up at Dartmouth and stuff like that.
I could hardly afford to buy rolls for it. Yeah. So it was off most of the time. But anyway.
So yeah, technology's definitely changed. So it's come a long way. So the freshwater scene, you're still doing a lot of cod fishing. Obviously, we're coming into cod season now, so orders are going to start coming in. So I know you're going to be pretty busy out in the shed coming into next month and everything like that. But where's your favorite place to fish when you're cod fishing? Like, where's the place that if you could go right now, chuck the boat on, drag the caravan out, not that the caravan leaves home much, but anyway, where would be the place that you go to chase your meter plus cod?
The local area around Wangaratta, it's pretty much the Murray River. I love fishing the Murray River below Yarrawonga. It's just been a place that we've caught a lot of fish. And not everyone can catch fish down there. And some days we don't either. Everyone should know what fishing's like. You just don't go out and catch fish all the time. But had some great success down there. Caught a lot of good fish, although in saying that, in the last 10 or 15 years, the fishing was excellent. It was closed in that area for a number of years, and when it opened up 20 years ago, the fishing was fantastic. Unfortunately, fishing's dropped off quite a bit down there. There's still a lot of good fish down there, but not quite as easy as to catch as what they used to be. So the Murray River is a great spot to fish. There's other areas that I like fishing as well. The Ovens River is fantastic. And depending where you fish on the Ovens River as well, if you fish above Wangaratta, the water's a little bit clearer up there, and it's good to fish, not quite as wide and possibly not as many bigger fish. But below Wang is certainly a good area in the Ovens River. Hard to get a boat in now, except for certain areas you can get boats in still, but the Ovens River holds a lot of good fish, good big fish, the lower Ovens size, but again, they aren't that easy to catch either.
So what are some of the tips that you could give people when they're targeting cod? Like, what are your three top tips?
Well, I think Well, I don't know whether I've got three top tips, mate, but certainly you need to put the time in to catch fish. Just don't get caught on using one technique. You need to use a number of techniques. And, yeah, I think, as I said, to start up with, you just need to put the time in. Some people can have luck and just drop onto fish straight away, but I do a lot of fishing. Unfortunately, the big fish haven't come all that often. I have caught a number of big fish, but yeah, you just have to put the time in. Time in to catch fish, it's the same with all fishing.
You do the smiles, I'll do the miles, get the smiles.
That's about it, mate. So, yeah, that's the most important thing to do is put the time in, and sooner or later the fish will come along. Same with all types of fishing. So yeah, that's about the only advice I can do. And the other, well, I suppose the other advice is, as I said earlier, if one technique isn't working for you, maybe you need to go and do another technique. And you've got quite a number of techniques. You can cast hard bodies. You can cast spinner baits to snags. You can cast surface lures. So surface lures will still catch big fish during the day, but you would have to say the best times are probably early morning and into the evening. Night fishing is good, but generally older blokes such as myself tend to shy away from that sort of fishing during the night nowadays. But the people that are prepared to put in the time during the night, especially surface fishing, will get good results out of it. So yeah, that's about all I can say on that. Just find the technique that works for you and just be prepared to swap your lures around, do some different stuff. I've noticed, especially in the Murray, the below Yarrawonga, there's a lot of people down there now that are just pushing towards using surface lures all the time. And surface lures and big fish, you need to do a lot of casting to get one fish, maybe thousands of casts to get a fish. And people are just doing that all day. I go past boats down there and I can see people are as bored as hell. They just, nothing's happening for them. And I may be down there trolling with the hard bodies, and at least you're getting some fish. You may not be getting big fish, but you're getting some fish and a variety of fish as well, the alabelly and cod. So, yeah, just try the different techniques. If one technique isn't working, swap to something else. Same as all fishing.
Get a predator lure. When in doubt, flick one out.
Predator lures have been pretty good to me. And, yeah, I've met a lot of great people because I've been in the business, made a lot of great friends out of it as well. So predator lures have been pretty good to me, mate.
Yeah, I think they've been good to the whole family, to be honest. Like, obviously, like you said at the start, they allowed us to have all the cool toys and do everything that we pretty much wanted to do. So that was awesome. And they're still funding your trips around at the moment now that you're retired. Yeah,
they still are funding a few trips. It's been pretty good. It's been a good journey. As I said, met a lot of good people. Taken some people out. Rod Harrison, I've taken out a couple of times fishing. So, as I said, met some good people. And Rod's a top bloke as well. So without dropping names, mate, too many names. But anyway.
Oh, well, you got a name drop every now and then.
No, I didn't mean it that way, but yeah. But I have met some great people.
No.
And well, still meeting great people.
Yeah, we are. We definitely are. So boat at the moment, what are you fishing out of?
Well, I'm still running my expensive Stacer Proline, 3.95 Proline. I have upgraded the motor. I put an Evan Root E-Tech on it, and it's a fantastic motor. So, yeah, the boat's about 20 years old, though, and I've got no plans to update it. It still functions exactly the way I want it. I can still get into the Ovens River in places and fish with it. Fantastic, a great little boat. And now that you've got a big boat, I guess I can go out on that.
Yeah, no props. So, yeah, we know.
We get only a couple of dollars here and there, but
gold coin donation.
Yeah, that's payback time.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good, blokey bloke. All right. Well, yeah, really appreciate you taking some time out and jumping on the Hook podcast with us and sharing your experience. Obviously, you know, I keep bringing it up throughout our podcasts and our Facebook page. Fishing's been really, really awesome for us as a family. You know, we've seen a lot, done a lot, been a lot of places through fishing, and we continue to do a lot. We've got some awesome big plans coming up. So, you know, once we sort of lock in a few more things, and we'll be able to release it to everyone else. But you are probably the biggest reason why I got into fishing and why I've sort of come back to it, I suppose. It's a good wind down. You know, especially with work and stuff like that, you can just get away, relax. Some people would say that I would probably need to relax a fair bit more on the boat, but it is what it is. We're there to win.
Yeah, I wound up on occasions, but anyway,
it's what the captain does.
Maturity will come to you, mate.
Yeah, the captain's there to yell. So anyway, blokey bloke.
All good. And as you say, it has been a good family sport. My wife, Jan, has been totally involved with the sport as well. As I said, all through our married life, from when Daniel and Ben was born until they left home, we were fishing very regular. And I thought it was a great way for us to go away fishing, keep everyone together. And I enjoyed it. I hope the boys enjoyed it.
Maybe. I know I did.
You did. You come back into fishing. I think we might have scared Ben off. But
I don't know. I think he's coming back to the fold. He'll be back.
Yeah, but no, it's been good. It's been a pretty good journey.
So it has. So, all right. Well, like I said, thanks for taking the time out and getting on the podcast with us. I'm sure we've got plenty more challenges ahead of us. I'm sure there's probably going to be one or two maybe arguments coming down range, but I'm sure we'll work through it.
As long as you listen to me, mate, that'll
we captain. Sort of there. We do it my way. So, but look, stay tuned, team. We've got a fair bit coming out. We've got some big plans, and obviously you'll see Dad in a few more clips. I've got no doubt. Maybe getting yelled at a bit more, maybe not. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, thanks for jumping on the podcast, bloke.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's been a blast.